the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on health on RadioMD.com. I almost reverted to HealthRadio.com. But we're on RadioMD.com, wonderful set of stations, and other programs on the station are just great. So you should go to the RadioMD.com website to find all of these programs. And, of course, the admonition or the hope is, rather the tagline, hope is that you will stay well. Bridget, one of the things I'm going to do is start the hour with an Ebola update as we did last hour. There still only is, I think, 4 cases in the United States, of which one gave rise to 2 others. But in the Emory and Nebraska facilities and at NIH so far, there have been no healthcare workers, so only one institution, Texas Presbyterian, had the problem. And in fact, a lot of people are canceling elective surgery there because of concern. I don't think that's realistic concern, but one of the things we're going to find out from Gary Ginsberg, who will join us in about 17 minutes, is that there is a hazardous waste disposal problem. There shouldn't be, and we'll talk to him about why there shouldn't be and why there is on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Now, one of the things is that is so interesting in the news this week is what we tried to get at stem cells. Stem cells, and this is a report published in Lancet, so stem cells are, especially embryonic stem cells, were the question, could they be developed safely, and what could we do to use them in a way that was healthy and that people could accept in a reliable way. So this was using embryonic stem cells. These stem cells were from in vitro fertilizations, which the people who were involved in the in vitro fertilization, that is, the women had donated their eggs, the men their sperm, and were going to get reimplanted into the woman who donated them after a while, but they decided they didn't want these embryos put back, and instead of doing away with the embryo or just flushing them away or destroying them, their cells were used to create RPE cells, retinal cells, so that you can see. And so these stem cells were used in, I think it was 18 patients who received a retinal epithelial cells, that's retinal epithelial cells, RPE cells, that are the ones you see with, and they all had blindness of significant degrees from either age-related macular degeneration or a rare macular dystrophy that leaves people legally blind. And what happened is the patients with macular degeneration and with the other macular dystrophy, 50% of those, half of the 18, were able to read 3 more lines on the eye chart. So this translates to critical improvements in their daily lives. Some were able to read their watch and use computers again. The trial is the only one that the FDA has used embryonic stem cells for, and so this is. But what it does is it signifies that we can transform. At least these scientists are able to transform stem cells into specific organ cells. In this case, retinal cells, which then were put near the retina, right on top of it, which then grabbed hold of the retina, and some of them became very functional cells to help people. And this is on the way to literally what Ray Kurzweil says is sometime between 2020 and 2030, we're going to be able to regenerate from your own stem cells every organ in your body so that you may become immortal. And that brings up a whole bunch of ethical questions that are even much bigger than the questions of the scientific questions of can we do it, or even bigger than should we be using embryonic stem cells. So that's a very interesting area in probably one of the most interesting. Bridget, we're going to go to something pretty simple now. That's olive oil and nuts. Tell us about this Spanish study. Do you remember it?
I do remember it. So they looked at a large population, 5,000 participants, and about two-thirds of them had metabolic syndrome at the start of the study, and then about 2,000 participants developed metabolic syndrome during the study. But what they found is that after putting these participants on a Mediterranean diet for 5 years, that they were more likely to have lost some belly fat and have lower levels of blood sugar. And they found that, that just under 30% of those on one of the Mediterranean diets who started the trial with metabolic syndrome no longer met the criteria. So they found that the Mediterranean diet was effective in reversing metabolic syndrome in these participants, specifically the ones that had the Mediterranean diet plus a supplementation with extra virgin olive oil. And we know that olive oil demonstrates some really promising anti-inflammatory properties in humans, and that might be why the participants that included the olive oil had lower blood sugar and reduced insulin resistance after they had been on the Mediterranean diet with the olive oil for 5 years. Which is
now,
pretty
awesome. How did the nut group do?
The nut group, I don't know. I know that they didn't do as well as the olive oil, but I don't have specifically on hand their success rate.
Gotcha. So in the earlier report of this, this is a 5.5-year report of it, but at the 3.7-year report on the same study, the olive oil and nuts decreased heart disease, actual new events of heart attacks and strokes, significantly by about the same thing, by about 30%. Now, the next study that I really liked this week was one on broccoli and autism. This was a broccoli extract, sulforaphane. Sulforaphane not only comes in broccoli sprouts, but is in the other cruciferous vegetables, cabbage, cauliflower, wintercress, etc. And it showed that giving it to people, the kids with autism, increased their social interactions and verbal communication by between a seventh and a third on various things, but only lasted while the kids took the broccoli extract. So we don't know how long-lasting that'll be or whether that's a new treatment or even why it worked. But obviously broccoli extract does decrease cancer rates. One of the other studies in the week was one we'll ask Gary Ginsberg about when he comes on in a few seconds. That is autism and pesticides in the news again this week. So you want to go organic, at least as I interpret the data. We'll see what Gary says. Want to go organic right before you get pregnant and during your pregnancy and during breastfeeding and the early childhood rearing years. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual radio show on RadioMD.com. If you have a question, you can send it to us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, @gmail.com, or call Sonar, 877-711-5211. Sonar's just waiting for your calls, 877-711-5211. On Radio MD, stay well.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
Her Radio with Michelle King Robeson.
I'm going to be totally honest because that's all I know how to do, and my life is an open book anyway. Give me a tip to develop a deeper connection with myself, right? That's what I'm struggling with.
The short answer is to do less in general and make it more meaningful.
And Dr. Pamela Peek, MD.
My friend and colleague, Dr. Regina Benjamin, who's the 18th Surgeon General of the United States.
Thank you for having me, and thank you both for what you do to get the health message and public health messages out there.
The naked truth about women.
Michelle, what comes to your mind?
Friendships.
Oh, okay.
Healthy women cultivating friendships. I mean,
we bond.
Right, exactly.
We bond like there's no tomorrow, and it's so healthy, and there's so much scientific research.
Listen live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern and always on demand at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and the free TuneIn Radio app. Stay well.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD. My favorite section of this whole show is the one you're about to listen to right now. That is Gary Ginsberg's, because Gary, what's toxic and what's not, Ginsberg, teaches me an awful lot. The first is Ebola. Gary, what do we have to know about Ebola and hazardous waste and how to handle hazardous waste?
All right. Well, hopefully most people in our listening audience will never have to handle Ebola-ridden waste. But we're talking about the household possessions of somebody who contracted the disease, like Thomas Duncan. All of his belongings became a medical hazmat situation. They were carried out in 140 55-gallon drums. So when you think about all the procedures, all the sanitation that needs to happen to be safe around one person, that's not including what he accumulated as medical waste, hazardous infectious medical waste in the hospital. This is what he had at his house.
So what was the amount? One person was how much?
140 55-gallon drums. Okay, you know how big a 55-gallon drum is, right?
Yeah, 140 of them. That's like an airplane field.
Yeah, that's a huge amount of stuff. I don't know if he had a lot of belongings, how big his Dallas apartment was, but that's what they ended up hauling away for this one guy. Brought it to Port Arthur, Texas to incinerate. Had to get DOT permits to travel with medical waste, have to go to a special medical waste incinerator. And so that's from one case. So just, multiply the one case by the numbers that we are hearing about in Africa. And we can understand why they don't have the resources to securely handle all that infectious, hazardous, toxic medical waste, which is, you hear stories of people being thrown into rivers, people lying in the road, and dogs eating and then people worried about the dogs being infectious. So we don't know all the different hosts, all the different environments that Ebola can live in outside the body. And so we don't know if Ebola-ridden or bodies with Ebola in it in rivers is going to lead much contamination in drinking water, et cetera. This is all a public health nightmare to try to figure out on the fly like this. But that's exactly what's happening in West Africa. We here in this country, on the other hand, are, because we have so few cases, we can afford to really try to manage all the medical waste very, very carefully from the few patients that have landed at Emory University or the Dallas Hospital, and et cetera. But if this became a bigger problem here, the medical waste could become a ginormous problem.
Now, he came over on a plane, so he obviously didn't have more than a drumful on when he came over.
No, but he had an apartment that he lived in, and he went to the hospital in Dallas, and they sent him home. And so he was there for, a couple of weeks until he became full-blown. And so in that time, I guess everything in his apartment became theoretically a source of contamination. Now, maybe whether that's overkill, and I don't know why it was 140 barrels, but that's an awful lot of medical waste, and the amount that came out of the hospital would have been even greater. So the point of this story is that we really have to nip this in the bud, because it's really going to if we start getting large numbers of cases, it's going to tax all sorts of infrastructure that we have for dealing with patients, for dealing with isolation, and for dealing with waste.
Okay, so what should we? What is there anything we should? That's an enormous amount. I'm just stunned by the amount of waste. I mean, that's an enormous amount of waste.
Yeah, and probably, Mike, it's probably a lot of that is not highly infectious or infectious at all. I mean, I think that there's a lot of precaution that goes in to try to prevent an outbreak from starting to spread. So you build walls around the infection and try to make sure anything suspect does not get sold at a flea on eBay. And it all goes bye-bye, including TV sets, I'm sure.
Huh. Okay. Now, let's go and talk about the autism and pesticides.
Yes. So Researchers have been trying to understand why the rise in autism, and of course some of it could be due to changing clinical diagnoses and our ability to see it better, or we're naming it now when we didn't name it before. However, research on pesticide exposure during pregnancy, this is not the first study to show a link, but the evidence is starting to accumulate. Still, we need much more, but the evidence is starting to accumulate. This was a study of about 950 pregnant women and babies, and followed these kids out to 8 years of age to see who got autism, who was on the spectrum, versus not having any problems, relative to where the mom was living during pesticide spray applications. So there is a registry of every time that there is a licensed applicator using pesticides, and in California there's an awful lot of that because there's a lot of agriculture, and they found a pretty strong statistical link between mom being within close proximity, a kilometer, which is about a half a mile, of pesticide applications. In other words, probably living near a farm. And the organophosphates came out strongest. In fact, chlorpyrifos, a particular organophosphate, had a tripling of the odds ratio of ASD from the close proximity during pregnancy. So this is, hypothesis-generating material. It's not proof by any stretch of the imagination, but we know that pesticides are neuroactive. They affect all sorts of pathways in the brain, and whether your exposure in utero can trigger autism needs a lot more research, but it just behooves women during pregnancy to put down that can of bug killer, to be careful about what they're doing in the garden, to think twice about the lawn treatments, because you just don't want to take those kinds of chances.
Wow. Isn't that threefold increase with chlorophos? Yeah. So, yeah. And so the key is avoiding farms during pesticides. Do the people put down where they're going to spray before they spray it? And is it any kind of map that we could look at?
Well, I know in my state, Connecticut, there's a registry, and you can sign up on this registry to be notified if your neighbor is going to be spraying. They have to let you know so that you could take precautions like closing window, bringing in toys, maybe leaving the area if you're really concerned, making sure they're doing it on a non-windy day, because that's a lot of it is spray drift of the concern from neighbors and neighborhood. The other thing about the proximity could be your drinking water. So I don't know how many of these women were on private wells in California that they were testing, but you certainly do want to test your well for pesticides if you're on a private well and you're within, say, a quarter to a half mile of any kind of active agriculture.
Gary, can you stay with us right after the break and go over the other two stories quickly?
Boy, that went fast. Yeah, I'm right here, Mike.
Okay, we will have you right on the other side of the break. Gary Ginsberg talking about the perfect storm and, ouch, it's hot, what that means. We'll come back and talk to you about poop transplants as well. And they're now in an easier-to-swallow pill. Will that make it more palatable for you? We're talking about you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
We get it. Who wants to talk about vaginal itching and irritation? Vaginal itching, burning, and irritation can be very embarrassing to talk about, even to your gynecologist. Though this topic can be quite uncomfortable, this vaginal problem could be affecting you, just as it affects millions of other women. Thankfully, there is now a product that can provide you with instant relief. We mean fast, as in relief right now. Prevalief Soothe is a natural, paraben-free, rapidly absorbing lotion that is comfortable and soothing to apply. Prevalief Soothe uses a new, natural soothing peptide complex and is made with natural probiotic technology to support vaginal health. To stop your itching fast, visit Prevalief.com to find out more information and purchase the product for immediate relief from your feminine issues. That's PREVALEAF.com. Prevalief, for immediate comfort and relief.
Her Radio with Dr. Pamela Peek, MD.
We're talking about loving ourselves. You know, how many times have we seen women looking for external validation? This is pretty common, isn't it, Dr. Thomas?
This is really what I call the pain point for human beings.
And Michelle King Robeson.
Ambien now is the first drug in the country where it's a different dose for men than women. The first one.
The naked truth about women.
Pay attention to your body. Okay, that's number one. And that's like a, what I call a KGO, keen grasp of the obvious. Okay, let's do it. Now, what's the next one? Come on, Michelle, let's rock and roll.
No processed foods. If you can't pronounce it, you can't eat it. Okay.
And then get your annual exams. You know the ones you've canceled 13 times already? Okay.
Live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern and always on demand at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and the free TuneIn Radio app. Stay well.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Bridget and I are here along with the wonderful, the great Gary Ginsberg. We've gone over Ebola waste as a hazmat problem. We've gone over autism and pesticides. How about lead poisoning in gun enthusiasts? Why is that a perfect storm?
Well, the storm of that is that you really want people who are using firearms to be in their right mind. And lead poisoning, lead overexposure, can make you neurologically incompetent. It's supposedly was part of the downfall of Rome from drinking in lead goblets, and it just can cloud your reasoning, can make your reflexes slower, and the last thing you need is someone's judgment or their nerve functioning to be decreased when they're behind a trigger. So, you know, you've got, for example, policemen are going to firing ranges all the time. Gun enthusiasts are going to firing ranges all the time. You know, you're handling a very serious weapon. And what happens at these firing ranges, unless they're carefully controlled, there are, or unless they're not using lead bullets, which some of them don't use, but a lot of them still use lead bullets, you know, the lead is going into a target, it is pulverizing, there is lead dust flying around, people are breathing in lead, there's lead, and lead is a toxic metal, very toxic to the brain, to the kidneys, to the cardiovascular system. But here, you know, we're mostly talking about, you know, a concern for brain damage. And we think about that mostly in young children from eating paint chips, but yet people using firing ranges are known to be at higher lead exposure risk, and their blood lead levels in general are higher, especially if they're going to a range which is not carefully controlled. So there are ways to clean and maintain these places and have good airflow, air ventilation, so that the lead isn't falling into people's lungs. But there are thousands and thousands of firing ranges across the country. And last year, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, which is inspecting workplaces, because people work at firing ranges, they only inspected 200 out of something like 30,000 firing ranges. So they're not getting inspected. When they do get inspected, they usually are in violation. You know, they're usually given some amount of time to correct the violation, and then they may not see OSHA for 10 years. So this is one of those toxic stories that is just, you know, way beyond the pale. It's, again, a perfect storm because, you know, the gun is dangerous, lead is dangerous. You don't want to put two dangerous things together because you could end up with some kind of psychiatric problem or judgment problem.
How do the gun owners get most of the lead toxicity? Is it from
shooting the gun? Yeah, at a firing range.
But no. Is it from the just the? Does a little of the lead rub off every time they shoot a gun, or is it when it hits the target?
Yeah.
In other words, a guy named Mark sent an email in and said, if he's shooting only at targets very far away, does that make it less likely, or is it from the actual gun going through the gun?
No, that's a good question, but my understanding is that it's from hitting the target, becoming airborne. If the target is very far away, yeah, the odds would be less, but it depends upon how the airflow is going through that building, and the lead may just be a cloud that does migrate from the target area throughout the whole place. So,
well, that's another question from Mary. She said, I thought lead was heavy. How far can it travel in air?
Yeah, well, when you're pulverizing it and you're putting all that energy into it, it will rebound off and form a puff. So it can, a lot of it settles out closer to the source or the target, but some of it will be really fine particles and can travel throughout the place. And don't forget, if they're not careful with the way they sweep and clean, they could just be spreading it all over the place and re-entraining it through the air flow system. So unless they're cleaned, these facilities are cleaned the right way, they are going to lead to lead dust on surfaces and lead in the air every time bullets get shot.
So maybe we should be getting lead levels more often in people who have firearms to make sure they're okay.
That's a great idea, Mike. The other thing is not using lead bullets, which is better for wildlife also. And what I've talked about before on the show is that when you shoot a deer, the lead fragments inside the deer's body, some of the fragments would be too small to see. You could end up eating bits of lead in your venison dinner.
Let's go to the ouch, it's hot. Hotter climate means more kidney stones. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, we usually think of heat being hot to touch something, but, you know, what is more painful than a kidney stone? And this is a very
nothing.
Nothing. I've never had one, but, boy, it doesn't sound like fun from the stories I've heard.
I have had one. There is nothing more painful.
Right, exactly. And so this study was done across a number of U.S. cities, some in hot climates, others not so hot. But there was a consistency from city to city about a 35% increase in kidney stone probability of forming a kidney stone within 3 days of a heat wave, temperatures above 90 degrees. So when you compare the kidney stone rates at hospitals or in clinics from 30 degrees centigrade, about 90 degrees Fahrenheit, when you compare that to 10 degrees centigrade, or about 20 degrees or 25 degrees Fahrenheit, when you can compare not 25 degrees, about 70 degrees. When you go from 70 to 90, you're increasing the odds of kidney stones 3 days out by about 40%, according to this data. And it makes sense because in hot weather, oftentimes people aren't drinking enough. And the kidney, trying to conserve water, is also conserving electrolytes. And you are under water deprivation conditions and you form a stone.
Wow. So that's
this would probably be a better story for spring, summer, rather than heading into fall and winter. But nevertheless, if it's hot out or if you've got a hot job, like working in a bakery, remember to drink.
Wow. Okay, so Gary Ginsberg, you've given us a whole bunch of interesting things. Know about the pesticide spraying in your area. Don't go near a Ebola person if you don't have to.
Don't go near their haz waste.
Right, and not near their haz waste. The perfect storm. By the way, can't you burn the waste?
Yes, that's what they do. They take it to licensed medical waste incinerators, they're not everywhere. You have to truck the waste to rent. So it's very expensive, a lot of permits, and a whole infrastructure to deal with it. Every day, medical waste at hospitals is getting burnt. And in the old days, hospitals used to have their own incinerators, but pretty much they became outmoded when you have, you know, better facilities to do it, more powerful burners to really burn out all the germs. But in the old days, every hospital had its own incinerator.
And make sure you get enough water when you're in hot weather. If you're firing a gun, get your lead level checked.
Exactly. Good summary, Mike. Thank you. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual radio show. That segment, the What's Toxic, What's Not, a great website, whatstoxic.com, Gary Ginsberg's website. For now, radiomd.com is how you listen to this program. Even if you miss it live, you can get the archives. Radiomd.com, RadioMD, stay well. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient Smart Ship program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Her Radio with Dr. Pamela Peek, MD.
What we have to do now is we have to demand at the highest levels, National Institutes of Health and big funders, that before any study is done, that male and females are both included and that the sex differences are teased out.
And Michelle King Robeson.
Only 37% of clinical trials today are done on women, and that had to be passed by Congress to even get that done.
The naked truth about women.
We as physicians are now being asked to look at many of these medications, start at the lowest dose possible in women.
And the FDA said that too, that, you know, just prescribe the lowest dose. But we need to review all drugs for women.
Live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern and always on demand at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and the free TuneIn Radio app. Stay well.
Itching, pain, and soreness during sex? General feelings of vaginal discomfort and dryness? You are not alone. Vaginal dryness is a very common condition that can profoundly affect your everyday life and your sex life. The dryness you are experiencing doesn't reflect your desire to have sex. There are tons of moisturizers and lubricants on the market today, but who wants to put harsh chemicals down there? Prevalif Oasis is an intimate moisturizer with natural ingredients. You don't need to fret over the hazardous chemicals in Prevalif Oasis Vagina Moisturizer. It's paraben-free, hormone-free, fragrance-free, and rapidly absorbing. It provides immediate comfort and relief. You can find out more information on the Prevalif Oasis product and all the great Prevalif products at Prevalif.com. PrevaLeaf.com to stop your itching fast and find relief right now. Prevalif.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Now, there are a number of things that happened in medicine this week that are so important that I want to get to them, even though we don't have time to get to them. So I'm going to go a little fast. One of them, scientists inch closer to Alzheimer's origins. This is a cell study where they developed cells in culture that mimicked Alzheimer's cells, and they found that when they put out the beta amyloid, they then developed tau protein. So beta amyloid seems to come before tau and was enough to cause the inflammation and the gunk and the Alzheimer's disease. So, major study. Why is this really important? Because it allows us to study drugs in culture. That is, it allows us to look at hundreds of Alzheimer's drugs in short order with this cell culture and have an idea about whether they affect the development of this beta amyloid protein gunk that the cells put out as poop. Wonderful study. Second thing, flu. Get your flu shot, will you please? It's starting to go up in the United States. It's a little higher than many years. It's not as high as the two highest years, but it's going up at a steady rate. Florida already has moderate flu activity. That means you visit Florida, you're likely to get it if you haven't had your flu shot. So get your flu shot, please. So we are seeing an increase. Third, the CDC makes faster tests for enterovirus. Enterovirus is this strain that has affected about, I think it's 500 kids in about 46 states, has six deaths on its hand. Why is this important? Because faster diagnosis means those kids who have otherwise flu-like symptoms, and flu is coming, those kids who have this enterovirus 64 will instead be able to be hospitalized, because this is something that moves quickly to cause severe dehydration, and if you do supportive care, doesn't kill you. So the reason it hurts is people get so dehydrated so quickly, their temperatures go up fast, and they literally fry themselves. But the good news is faster diagnosis. You'll know to admit these kids rather than sending them home. And it'll save some kids' lives, and it'll save money on admitting every flu case. So those are the three that I wanted to go over, especially the Alzheimer's one that we found. What's your fitness age, and how does it relate to real age? Fitness age is what your VO2 max is. This is a test you do when you do maximum exercise. How much oxygen can you consume? It correlated with a faster death. Real age does even better. Real age correlates. That's the whole thing. It's not just fitness, but it's everything. Based on your habits, you can go to realage.com. I did start the test, so I'm biased, but it was analyzed independently in 25 million people in California last year. It predicted death rates, cardiovascular disease rates, and cancer rates better than Framingham or the Reynolds score, the two best other tests. So it is a valid test. Don't lie on the test. Do it correctly, and you'll see, be able to tell yourself what your risk is. More importantly, it comes up with a list of recommendations of what you can do to make yourself younger. So fitness age did get a play this week. Real age is even better than fitness age, but I was proud to help start it. Now, my favorite topic of the week, can you guess it, Bridget?
The pills that have that are going to take place at the fecal transplant.
Right. So poop transplants are when you take a poop from someone who's healthy and give it to someone, and usually it's a close relative, who has Clostridium difficile. We've shown that this really does work better than antibiotics. It was used initially in cases of antibiotics that had failed treatment that kept getting this Clostridium difficile. Some of these people died. Not a trivial number. A lot of people died from Clostridium difficile that they had picked up after antibiotic usage or after being in a hospital, because it was transmitted that way. Fecal transplants were something like 93% effective the first time, and if you get a second time 2 weeks later, you got almost 100% cure rate. Well, that's true. This Harvard group started to filter and then purify the poop pills to get just the bacteria, to get the ucky stuff out, freeze them, puts it in a little capsule. You take the capsules, I guess you take about 5 capsules according to the study, and they got the same results, almost the same results. So it's making poop better. Now, will this be used in a lot of ways? You betcha. We know that apples and exercise improve the quality of your poop so that you don't get insulin resistance. On the other hand, red meat, that includes pork, and sugar substitutes were shown to decrease the quality of bacteria in your poop and to increase your risk of inflammatory disease and getting, in fact, dying from all causes. So poop seems to be very important, and these poop pills are an easy way of controlling the bacteria that you have in your poop. Boy, I've said poop an awful lot.
You have.
Can't believe it. In any case, this is another way of getting healthy and of having a great ability to control the bacteria inside you that does help you control whether you'll get inflammation or not. Okay, one diet myth. Is it better to lose weight fast or slowly, Bridget?
So this is really interesting because I've always, well, for a long time, I've speculated that it's better to lose weight rapidly, and this study confirmed that. They found that the participants that were put on a rapid weight loss diet were more successful in the end than the participants who were put on a gradual diet. And
when you mean more successful, does that mean they kept the weight off for a longer period of time?
Yeah, exactly, in the second phase of the study.
So it was broken into two phases. In the first phase of the study, 50% of the people on the gradual diet and 81% of the people on the rapid diet achieved the 12.5% weight loss goal that the researchers had asked for. And then they both struggled somewhat in the second, actually not somewhat, significantly in the second phase, where 71% in the gradual diet group and 70.5% in the rapid diet group regained a lot of the weight that they had shed from the first. But they found that the patients who successfully completed phase one lost a little over 14 kilograms in the first phase and gained back all but 4 kilograms in the second phase. So
yeah, my point was just that the study seems to indicate that weight loss on any kind seems to be regained, and
that's
that
true.
Doing it slower may give you longer chance of keeping that same amount off that you lost initially. So this study we'll discuss next week again, because it's so interesting. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. We want you to stay well and stay listening to us. Remember, this week, get your flu shot, learn about where pesticides are used in your area, and above all, stay well. Thanks for listening, and thanks for great engineering sonar. Bridget, wonderful show. Thank you all, and thank you for your questions, especially the ones on lead toxicity from shooting at a range.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, it is. This is so great.
Uh-huh. I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.